Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio. This is episode 230, and I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Today we're going to interview a woman who has a disease that we've not talked about in this program before. The disease is lupus, and I want to read to you the Mayo Clinic's definition of lupus. It says, lupus is a systemic autoimmune disease that occurs when your body's immune system attacks your own tissues and organs. Inflammation caused by lupus can affect many different body systems, including your joints, skin, kidneys, blood cells, brain, heart, and lungs. Lupus can be difficult to diagnose because its signs and symptoms often mimic those of other ailments. The most distinctive sign of lupus, a facial rash that resembles the wings of a butterfly unfolding across both cheeks, occurs in many, but not all, cases of lupus. And while there's no cure for lupus, treatments can help control symptoms. Joining us from Arizona is Wendy. She doesn't want us to use her last name, so we'll respect that. She's here to tell us about her multiple issues, which include lupus, fibromyalgia, hypothyroidism, and PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome. Wendy, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, with all the ailments you've had, can you remember a time when you didn't have any problems at all and felt well?
In my younger days, yeah.
Yeah.
Early 20s.
And when did things start to go south for you?
I would say with the lupus and fibro happened right after I had my second baby in 2015.
And yes. What did you notice at that time?
I was having swelling in my feet, my hands, my face, but it also came with pain. At first, I thought it might have been fibromyalgia since my mother has it. But a friend of mine has lupus as well, and she said that she had the same symptoms, that I should just probably get checked out just to be on the safe side. So I did, and once I went to the RA and he did all the blood work and everything, he came back and said that it was lupus.
Now, I mentioned in the introduction from the Mayo Clinic that one of the things is this butterfly rash on the face. Do you have that?
No, I haven't gotten the rash yet.
Does your friend have it? Or it did have it?
She had the rash, yes.
She had the rash.
Okay, so the rash can come and go?
Yes. I guess after she got on the medication, it faded away, but it comes and goes. It fades in and out. It doesn't go away out completely. You can still see a little fade of it, but it comes and goes.
Wendy, what's a typical day like for you when you get up in the morning? How do you feel?
First thing that wakes me up is the pain.
And you have pain where?
It's pretty much in my joints. My hands and feet are the first ones that I feel the pain. It also depends on how I sleep. I have to position myself a certain way. If my legs overlap one another, the pain from that will definitely wake me up.
So would you say that's muscular pain or bone pain or a bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. Mm. It always depends on the day. It depends on the humidity. The humidity seems to aggravate it more.
So when it's more humid, you don't feel as well?
Yes. When the humidity rises, I feel the pain a whole lot more.
Well, you live in Arizona. There's not much humidity there compared to what we have here. You'd probably suffer here a great deal.
Yes, yes. Right now we do have humidity. We had monsoons roll in a couple of days. So right now the pain has gotten higher. But I've noticed the difference now before I got on the cannabis and the pain now. It's not as bad. It's bearable. It's doable throughout the day.
When did you start taking the cannabis?
I started taking cannabis in 2016, a year after my diagnosis.
Were you on pharmaceuticals at that time?
Yes. They started me off with Plaquenil and Meloxicam for the lupus.
Mm-hmm.
And with Plaquenil, I had to get my eyes checked every 6 months because that medication runs the risk of losing vision in one or both eyes.
Wow.
Yes.
Just a small side effect.
Just a small side effect. No big deal. You don't need your eyesight anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
after that, it didn't really do much as far as the pain and the swelling. It didn't really help much after that year. So they were going to put me on, I always have a hard time pronouncing it, but I believe it's a methotrexate.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yep.
Yes, they were going to switch me over to that. But once I saw the effects that medication has on a human body, it's when my husband said, okay, no more. You go get your medical card and get on cannabis.
What made you first think of trying cannabis?
Well, I've you know, used on and off cannabis in my younger years. But during the process of the diagnosis and the medications they were giving me, I started doing my own research. I started looking more into RSO. Okay. And when I realized that RSO was helping so many people with cancer and such, I figured, why not give it a try?
Got nothing to lose.
Got nothing to lose. I mean, the side effects of RSO is hungry, sleepy,
and happy.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're three cats, hungry, sleepy, and happy.
Exactly. I'd much rather take those side effects than losing vision in my eyes.
So when you started taking the cannabis, did you eliminate the other pharmaceuticals?
Yes, slowly I started eliminating. When I first started RSO, I started just at night. Since it was so potent, I couldn't function throughout the day with the small dosage. So I started at night. So during the day, I would still take my pharmaceuticals. And at night, I would just take RSO instead of whatever pill I had to take that night.
So when you're saying RSO, I'm assuming that what you had was a high THC oil?
Yes.
Yeah. How much were you taking, Wendy?
I started off with the half grain. I worked my way up to a gram a day.
Okay. Do you know what percent that oil was by chance? You know, if you don't know, it's fine.
I don't remember yet. I got it from the dispensary, but here the dispensaries don't really have lab testing mandatory here.
Okay.
So it's really a luck of the draw of whatever you get from the dispensary.
Okay, so you said you worked your way up to a gram a day. So when you say a gram a day, were you doing that all in one go then at night?
No, I started splitting. After I got used to it, after a week at night, of the following week, I started doing it during the day, three times a day.
Okay, good. So you were keeping that cannabinoid level up in your system.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's so important to do.
How did you feel when you started taking it? In terms of your pain?
After about 2 weeks, I noticed the difference in my pain level was decreasing. So I started to eliminate the pharmaceuticals little by little. So by week three, I wasn't taking any of the pharmaceuticals. It was all RSO or cannabis oil for three times a day once I got up to the gram. And once by fourth week or so, I saw a huge improvement in my pain level.
Do you still have a little pain?
It's here and there, but it's like I said before, it's a doable pain. The pain I had prior to this one, it was pretty much either sit on the couch and watch my kids from there or try to take as many pharmaceuticals as I could to try to just get to the store.
Now, of the four ailments which you have or had, which one has been the most difficult to deal with?
I would have to say the lupus.
The lupus.
Yes.
Fibromyalgia and lupus are kind of related, aren't they?
Yeah, they kind of overlap, so I really can't blame the pain all on the lupus, because
mm-hmm.
I do have fibromyalgia as well. But the lupus, before I even knew I had lupus, I was about 8 months after I had my daughter, I ended up in the hospital because I had fever, vomiting, the works.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the doctor and got checked out, and they did an ultrasound, which turned out that I had, my liver was large or inflamed. So they couldn't see me for 3 months for a specialist to get me in and see what was going on. So I ended up going to the hospital. Well, it turned out that it was my spleen that was having blood clots that was causing the liver to get inflamed. But they still couldn't figure out the root cause of that.
Mm.
Later on, once I got diagnosed, which was about a month or so after that ER visit, I found out I had lupus, and that's what it was. It was a lupus flare.
Ah, okay.
Yes, that's what it was. So I haven't had a flare since September of 2015.
How long do these flares last? Or is everybody different?
Every single one is different. It just depends what the flare is going to be. You know, the flare can be just swelling. Like, not too long ago, I had a small flare where the right side of my face was more swollen than the left.
Mm.
But that one was within the day, it was gone.
Now, do you have other friends who take cannabis for their lupus?
Yeah, my friend, the one that told me that I should go get checked out to make sure it wasn't lupus related, of all the pain and the swelling I was getting in my hands. She started before I did. She got to the point where the methotrexate wasn't in pill form anymore. She was getting injected every 7 days.
Every 7 days?
Yes, she had an injection every 7 days, and then it went to once every 2 weeks, and then once a month.
And she started taking cannabis?
Yes. She saw, because when I was, you know, diagnosed, I was young. I was still 31, 32-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, two kids. I just had a baby. So I went down a depression spiral from there. You know, I couldn't move. You know, going to the store was a challenge in itself. Just taking my daughter to school was a challenge in itself. So, you know, being 32 with two kids and not being able to be as active as I was prior to that, it sent me through depression pretty bad. And once I started taking the cannabis and I started being able to move without pain and being able to stay more active with my kids, you know, the depression kind of subsided. So once, you know, by 6 months after I started the treatment of cannabis, I was back almost to, I want to say, my normal self. So she saw the differences in me where I started when I had the lupus to when I started taking cannabis oil. So she started getting interested because she, at this point, she was already on narcotics. I can't remember if it was Vicodin or Oxycontin, something like that. And it was to the point where she was addicted to them. She couldn't function without it.
Mm.
And she didn't want to depend on it anymore. I mean, she had ended up going to rehab and everything. So when she got out of rehab, she saw how I was doing so great without any pharmaceuticals, without anything needing to get through the day except for cannabis. So I started her little by little on cannabis oil, and now she's doing no treatments whatsoever. Just cannabis, and she's doing great.
Do you know how much she does a day?
Honestly, right now, I don't know. Mm. I know she got up to the gram a day.
Right.
But again, you know, money concerns, so mm-hmm. I don't know if she's doing a gram a day or if she's just doing a maintenance here and there.
Wendy, what's a gram of oil worth there?
Here, a gram is going to go between $35 to $60, depending on the dispensary and if they have any available.
Mm.
When you say they may not have any available, does that happen often?
Right now, yeah, yes, because I only have one dispensary that's about 20 minutes from me. It's the closest one I've got.
Mm. Is there a limit on how much you can buy?
We do have limits in our carts, but I believe it's like an ounce and a half every 2 weeks.
Of plant material?
Yes.
Okay, so is there a limit on how much oil you can buy?
No, you can buy as much as you want.
Oh, really?
As long as you go over your limit.
Oh, okay, so you're limited by what it says on your card then.
Yes, the allowance is what they're called. It's
allowance.
It's
okay.
Every 2 weeks. Yeah.
I see. Okay. So you're not able to go in there if you don't have one of those coveted cards and buy any oil.
No, you have to have. Here it's only medically legal here.
Yeah, I find often with the hundreds that I speak to that often the stuff at dispensaries is overpriced and nowhere near what they need. But it sounds to me like you've found the magic fit, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I do the cannabis oil, but I also do flower. I also do, you know, I take it in different ways. I have topical, salve. I use it in as many ways as I can.
Where do you think you get the most relief, or is it just a combo?
I believe it's a combo.
Mm-hmm.
Because I use CBD products, and I also use cannabis oil.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I use both. And I've done it just ours, cannabis oil on itself without CBD, and it helps a lot. But with the CBD, I feel like it gives it an extra kick.
Yeah, well, CBD is very good for pain, and it's also very good for inflammation.
Yes, which is both things that I deal with every single day.
Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, actually thinking aloud here, wondering whether a 1-to-1 ratio might be beneficial for you. CBD, one part THC.
I think so. Well, my mom, right now, she finally got her medical card, but I started her on cannabis oil for her arthritis and fibromyalgia. She also has degenerative disc disorder and bulging discs, all kinds of things in her spine. And she was also on lots of pharmaceuticals.
Mm.
And I started her with the cannabis oil until I got her to 1 gram a day, but it was a little too much for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I started giving her 101 tinctures.
Yes.
And that's actually been doing the best for her.
Yeah, and you know, when I talk to people with fibro, because I've talked to a few people with lupus, but I think mainly fibro, I find 1-to-1 works. I always get people just to basically do the protocol that you would do if you're fighting cancer, but often, you know, and start working up to that. But often people don't need 1 gram a day when they're dealing with something like that. They need a lot less. But everybody is different for what their level is, you know, and they eventually figure out where that is.
Yes, because I tried giving her in different methods, you know, from flower to edibles and different ways to see what would work best for her, since she had a liver that wasn't working properly because of the pharmaceuticals that she was on. But once we got through the detox stage, which is like the first 7 days, once we got through that, cannabis oil was actually working pretty good. But she felt like it was just too strong for her, even with the small dosage. So I switched her over to the tincture that's 1-to-1, and it's been helping her just fine. She doesn't need any of her pharmaceuticals. Actually, at this point, they have taken her off her blood pressure medication, and they reduced her diabetes medication down to the lowest, I believe.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing what cannabis can do for diabetes. I've known a number of people who've gotten off of insulin completely. So it sounds like she's heading in the right direction with all of this, Wendy.
Yes. Well, my mom, since I can remember, she's always had high blood pressure since I can remember. And they've always just added more blood pressure medication on top of whatever she was already taking to try to at least stabilize it a little bit, but they've never really been able to bring it down to normal. This time around, every single time that she's gone to the doctor, it's completely normal, even a little below the normal.
That must be exciting for her.
It is. It's very exciting for her. I mean, my mom had to carry a little bag just for her medication of the day.
Wow.
She was on all kinds of medication. She was taking I don't know what kind of shots these were, but it's the ones, I believe they're like lidocaine style shots in her back to help with the pain from the bulging discs and the issues she's got back there. Doesn't need those anymore.
Is she on any medication at all, or just a limited amount?
Just diabetes medication right now.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wendy, in Arizona, are you allowed to grow your own material?
You are if you are outside of a 25-mile radius of a dispensary.
So you pretty well have to be living
in the country.
Pretty much, yes.
Would you say that the oil has done anything for your PCOS and hypothyroidism?
Well, I don't take medication for my thyroid anymore.
And so that would be a yes.
Yes, I don't take it anymore. I don't need it. And for my PCOS, well, I mean, I don't have a uterus anymore, so or ovaries anymore, so it doesn't really affect me in any other way.
So you had a hysterectomy?
Yes. When I had my daughter, it was a very traumatic delivery, and they had to do an emergency hysterectomy right after her delivery.
Wendy, how does your husband feel about all this? Does he see an improvement in you and encouraged by what you're doing?
Oh, he loves it. He'd rather me be on cannabis than the pharmaceuticals that I was on. He's done the research with me. He's been there. He's seen the stories and people that have used it that has helped them with cancer and such. And says, you know, I'd much rather you have both your eyesights and, you know, smoke a little marijuana than, you know, lose your eyesight just because you're following doctor's orders.
Yeah. That's great that you've got the support of the person in your life, as opposed to someone being married to someone who thinks it's the devil's weed or something.
Yes, it will be very difficult. I've seen and heard a lot of stories about their significant others not being on board with, you know, using that method as medicinal. But my husband was the reason why I got my medical card and got on cannabis, because he said, no more, I don't want you on. He's seen the difference in me prior to my diagnosis. And he's seen the difference now that I'm on cannabis, and it's a huge improvement. I mean, it really gave me my life back.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to talk to you prior to cannabis to see how you felt and how you feel now.
It wouldn't be such an upbeat interview. I was in a very dark spot at that time.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, you had an emergency hysterectomy, you had fibromyalgia, you had lupus, PCOS before your hysterectomy, and then hypothyroidism. I mean, you were just sliding downhill very quickly at a very young age.
Very young age. And that's where my depression came from, you know, being so young and not being able to be as active as I used to be. I mean, everything changed. You know, I was losing my hair. I was gaining so much weight and have no idea how to stop it. That added on to everything, you know, just I couldn't do my daughter's activities at school anymore. That didn't even want to see outside. If I didn't have to go talk to people, it was the best thing for me. I had no reason to be outside, no reason to try to be social or just to even enjoy the time with my kids.
You wanted to isolate yourself, right?
Yes, I just wanted to be left alone in my room and not to be talked to.
When you talked about your weight gain, has your weight stabilized with the use of cannabis?
Right now it's actually decreasing little by little, but it's decreasing. It's really weird. I don't know if it's just me, but I've noticed that once I'm on cannabis oil, it makes me lose weight on its own. Like, it's not like if I go on a diet or anything like that. It just changes the way my taste buds are, if that makes any sense.
Makes all the sense in the world. Basically, cannabis creates homeostasis in your system. This would not be the first time that I've heard of people losing weight without even trying, and that their taste buds do change.
Yes. A lot of the foods that I would eat don't taste as good anymore. Right now, my thing is salads and fruit, which is not something that was ever in my menu.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I give it all up to cannabis, because that's what's changed everything. Before I started cannabis, I was around the 300, 320 almost pounds. And when I started taking the cannabis for a full year, I dropped like 60 pounds.
Good for you. And that's a healthy weight loss. It's not like you did it, you know, in 2 months sort of thing. That's good.
Yes. It was a lot had to do with being able to be active again, being able to move.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because a lot of the weight gain was because I wasn't moving, you know.
Yeah.
I had to figure out how to get to the store and get back from the store and still be able to cook dinner without needing, you know, an Oxycontin or Tramadol or whatever to subside the pain so I can at least get through dinner. You know, with cannabis, I don't need anything but cannabis.
Yeah, well, that's excellent. Wendy, it was good to talk to you. Do you think your lupus, they say lupus is not curable. Do you think over the next few years you might find that cannabis has helped it to the point where you can say that maybe you're cured?
I'm hoping that's what my goal is, to get to a point where I can say I'm cured. I don't have lupus anymore. I have no more swelling, no more joint pain. You know, I feel as normal as I should at 36, 37, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my goal is to try to get there.
And that'll be a great day.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, right now it's really not too bad. You know, even with the pain I do have from the humidity or whatever the case may be, it's actually still not too bad. I'm still able to continue with the activities I have to do. You know, I have 2 kids, but technically have 3 because I take care of my niece as well.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you're married.
Yeah. But if you want to add 4 to that then, because, yeah, right. You know, we only have 1 car right now. We just moved about 40 minutes away from his work.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have 1 car. So I have to wake up at like 5 in the morning to try to get him to work and back. Kids are about to go to school, so that's not going to change. I still have to get up at 5, get back, and get the kids to school, which I was doing before they went into summer break. And I was doing it with no problem, with ease. Uh-huh. If this would have been in 2015, I don't think I would have been able to make it through.
Yeah, no, you've come a long way. As they say, you've come a long way, baby.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
That's good. Anything you want to say in conclusion, Wendy? You got a remarkable story.
Well, just, you know, don't rule out cannabis as not being able to help you. Even if it doesn't cure me, you know, it still helps. It still gets you your life back. You know, it gives you an opportunity and hope to at least try to go back to the person you used to be. Before the pain, before the swelling, before the depression, because all of that comes in with anything that has to do with chronic pain.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, it was great to talk to you. All the best in the future.
Thank you so much. It was great for you guys to contact me. I hope that, you know, it touches someone, at least it gives someone hope that they can feel better, at least, with cannabis.
I'm sure it will. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wendy.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Another success story, Corey.
Yeah, pretty amazing what she's overcome.
It is. And that was episode 230. Thanks to Ron Zarr of Rowan Sound here in Victoria for donating his studio to us so we could do this. Ron's an awesome guy.
Thank you so much, Ron.
And we'll be back next week with another edition of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.